Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
And you've got the market that's out there, and when you put all that combination together, there's a supply and demand, and unfortunately it's there.
Police in Rowan County are fighting an ever-changing battle against drugs.
Boyd County officials have given final approval for a new fee to fund 911.
A closed bridge in Pike County has upset several community members.
A House work group is looking for ways to pay for the state's infrastructure issues.
Volunteers with the American Red Cross and Kentucky Association of Electric Co-ops are headed to Florida for Irma relief efforts.
In sports, the Bengals will host the Ravens Sunday at 1 p.m.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Keeping up with the latest drug that's trending with the county's dealers and addicts is a never-ending challenge. That's according to Rowan Chief Deputy Joe Klein. At this point, Klein says the scourge of area law enforcement agents remains heroin, or heroin laced with fentanyl or carfentanil. However, pills are still out there, with crystal meth also now making a comeback. Klein says the cost of those substances drive the market, with addicts always on the lookout for the cheapest way to get high.
Somebody looking at it in the business mind, they shop around to see where they can get the best deal. And if this is what it's going for and they need it, they're going to pay or give what they can to get it. You know, it's what the addict does. And unfortunately, at the cost of the community, and because there's a lot of other crimes that's generated just because of addiction.
Klein says drug addicts will often commit thefts and burglaries in order to get money to buy drugs. He adds his deputies often don't know what the current drug of choice is among sellers and addicts until it's already flooded the market.
After dealing with several such incidents last month, there have been no further vehicle break-ins in the neighborhood around Moorhead's Knapp Avenue in the last couple of weeks. City Police Captain Kyle Callahan credits his department's use of traditional and social media and increased patrols for making that happen. During those break-ins, several items were stolen, including three firearms. Callahan says that authorities have received several leads in the case, along with the names of potential suspects, but at this point they haven't taken anyone into custody.
We have to have other evidence that we can use to either affect their arrest or to try to find the guns. So, I mean, you know, just because based on, we can't just make an arrest or do searches of houses just based on somebody calling and saying, hey, that looks like a certain person. You know, we have to have other evidence to add to that.
Callahan says Lieutenant Matt Sally continues to investigate the rash of vehicle break-ins and interview possible witnesses and persons of interest.
Boyd County officials have given final approval to a new fee that would fund its struggling 911 center. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, property owners will now pay $15 per address. The new tax is expected to provide around $300,000 for the Boyd 911 center. An existing monthly 17% landline surcharge will continue to provide the bulk of its funding. The center has lost about $223,000 over the last decade as more landline owners switch to cell phones. Not wishing to keep adding weight to the back of a dwindling number of landline subscribers, the center plans to eliminate the surcharge next year and charge property owners by unit. For WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
According to one official, having more events and festivals in downtown Moorhead is not as easy as simply coming up with the ideas for them and picking the dates to hold them. Tracy Williams is the executive director for the Moorhead-Rowan County Chamber of Commerce. According to Williams, those events require local business owners willing to step up to act as sponsors and help pay for them.
We need the help of the community to do it. So we have to be mindful of the sponsorship and the help that we ask from our community and our businesses every time we plan a new event, and how they can be involved and how that benefits them as a business and how it benefits the community. It all has to even out.
The next
The next major event coming to downtown Moorhead will be the annual Arts and Eats Festival, which happens a week from tomorrow on Main Street.
A bridge closing has left residents of the Mouthguard community in Pike County with few routes to the main road. District 12 bridge inspectors closed the unsafe Big Hackney Bridge 2 weeks ago. But locals say the one-lane side roads along the Big Sandy River could also be dangerous. Michael Riley told EKB News he especially worries about school bus safety.
And you go down through there, you can see there's no guardrails. The weeds are all the way over to the blacktop. And that bus, when it runs, it's got to get right over next to that river. And if it drops over there, it's a 30, 40-foot drop.
Pike County officials say they plan to fix the bridge and make the side roads safer.
With its state incentives restored, the Bible-based Ark Encounter theme park in Grant County is set to receive $1.8 million in tax rebates this year. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The Lexington Herald Leader reports the attraction is in line for the rebate every year for the next decade, as long as ticket, food, and ride receipts match that amount. Sales taxes were not included for the end of June and all of July when the park ran afoul of the state tax incentive agreement by transferring its property to a nonprofit entity. Ark Encounter had been at odds with city leaders in Williamstown over a 50-cent per ticket safety tax, but soon returned the property and regained the incentives. Park co-founder Ken Ham has said the safety tax produced $70,000 in July, which translates to about 140,000 visitors. The attraction is not required to make its visitor numbers public, but officials have said more than 1 million people passed through the gates in the first year, short of the park's projections in its original market study. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Childhood obesity is a growing problem in Kentucky and the nation, and the American Beverage Association is spearheading multiple initiatives to help reduce student calories caused by sugary drinks. The ABA is working to change their drink options. While high school students can still access anything from soft drinks to teas to flavored and unflavored water, middle and grade schoolers are limited to milk, juice, and water. Susan Neely is the organization's president and CEO. Speaking in Newport on Thursday, Neely said the biggest challenge is to make sure that consumers have the information they need when choosing their drinks.
Keeping up with all the choices that people want, because they seem to be endless. Do you want a soft drink with a flavor in it? Do you want a water with a bubble or not a bubble? I mean, I can go on and on and on. So we're trying to keep up with you all and make sure you've got everything you want.
Neely spoke with Spectrum News Pure Politics about soft drink industries and how they have made the calorie count in their beverages easily accessible. Neely said it took a look at the label so you'll know what's in every bottle, can, and pack.
The State House Work Group reviewing the transportation infrastructure met Thursday. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, the work group wanted to learn what other states have done in recent years to finance new roads and maintain existing ones. Kevin Pulla, a senior policy specialist for the National Conference of State Legislators, says taxing gasoline represents a dying revenue resource, and Oregon's pay-per-mile system is working well.
When people have looked at this, they've actually found that rural drivers in the program are actually getting the biggest benefit because they are oftentimes driving the most miles and more often than not have lower efficiency vehicles than urban drivers.
States like Oregon, California, Washington, and Illinois are exploring pay-per-mile systems that track mileage driven for tax purposes rather than charging for gas consumed. And Pulla says Oregon remains the only state with such a pilot program up and running.
The Kentucky Power Company has paid $2,500 to the Kentucky Public Service Commission as a result of a fatal accident in Greenup County. WMKY's Jack Caudill reports.
The fine is a result of an incident on July 9, 2015. Tony Craig, who was an employee of Kentucky Power contractor Aspland Tree Service, died after pulling a branch from a pine tree onto a 7,200-volt line. Current from the line followed the limb to Craig's hand. He was not wearing the required protective equipment, including heavy rubber gloves that would have insulated him from the electricity. The PSC issued an order in May of this year, saying that lack of proper safety gear violated mandatory standards, and utilities are responsible for the actions of their contractors. The $2,500 fine is the maximum allowed under Kentucky law for a single violation. For WMKY News, I'm Jack Cottle reporting.
The Kentucky Humane Society is heading to Jacksonville, Florida today to pick up nearly 60 dogs and cats from the shelter there. Andrea Blair is with the Humane Society.
They expect that there will be many, many lost animals because of the storm who will need to go to the shelter. And so by going in there before the storm and emptying their shelter, we're clearing the space for incoming animals who will need their help.
Dogs and cats being flown in from Fort Lauderdale will also be welcomed in Kentucky.
Volunteers with the East Kentucky chapter of the American Red Cross are on the ground in Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, and Florida. 70 members from the local chapter are helping with relief efforts after Hurricane Harvey, while others are preparing for landfall of Irma. Executive Director Joanne King says volunteers do everything from managing shelters to handing out food.
It's not a matter of jumping in a truck and heading into the midst of a disaster. It's really a matter of these are very, very focused efforts. We've been doing this for 100 and almost 40 years, so we've got it down to a science.
The East Kentucky chapter will hold new volunteer training beginning Monday, September 11th. For more information, call 606-325-1626.
The Kentucky Association of Electric Co-ops is sending roughly 80 linemen to Georgia to assist in advance of Hurricane Irma's landfall. Chris Perry is the president of the KEAC.
You know, in a hurricane like this, there will be debris everywhere. Even just getting to the places where the lines are will be tough. So it is a tough job, but it is one that Kentucky linemen have done many times.
Perry says Georgia came to Kentucky's aid after the 2009 ice storm as part of the mutual aid agreement. Crews from LGE and KU will also be deployed to support Florida in Irma's wake.
Rain will fall in eastern Kentucky as Hurricane Irma makes its way inland next week, but the chance of flooding is low. That's according to Jane Wicks, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Jackson.
There could be some isolated instances, but right now it's not looking like anything that's going to cause widespread problems.
Wicks forecast about 1.5 inches of rain in the region next Tuesday, but says the recent dry spell should help prevent any damages.
Tin Wolf Inn in Moorhead is sponsoring Signal 9 for canines this Saturday at the Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport. Ashley Keynes is the facilities and training manager at Tin Wolf Inn. She says the proceeds from the race will go toward canine care.
We want to make sure that his health is in tip-top condition, and if we can help to keep him in service a couple more years by, you know, buying him maybe preventative medicine for his hips, because German Shepherds tend to have, you know, easier problems with hips later on in life. We want to make sure he's in tip-top condition, and we want to make sure that the community is standing behind him because he's another officer.
Registration for the race is $30 and begins at 9 a.m. The race begins at 10.
A private plane that went missing on its way to the Fleming Mason Airport has been found. Kenzie Thompson reports.
Authorities were notified about the missing Cirrus SR-20 aircraft on Wednesday morning. According to the Maysville Ledger, the plane was found around 7 p.m. in a mountainous area near Jacksburg, West Virginia. It was flying into Mason County from the Delaware Coastal Airport in Georgetown, Delaware, on Tuesday and disappeared from the radars in Wetzel County, West Virginia, later that day. According to the FAA, there were two passengers on the plane. Names have yet to be released. The FAA assumes the aircraft crashed, and they will give an update once they have more information. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mostly clear skies with lows around 53. Your Saturday will be clear with highs near 71 and lows around 49. Clear skies on Sunday with highs near 73 and lows getting down to around 52. And partly sunny on Monday with highs near 70. Showers likely Monday night. 60% chance of precipitation, mostly cloudy with lows around 56 degrees. It's currently 73 degrees in Flemingsburg, 75 in Ashland, 72 in Inez, and it is 74 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and here in Moorhead.
On today's feature segment, commentator John Modaff proposes a title change for the story named Lord of the Flies.
Have you heard all the dust-up lately about the remake of Lord of the Flies? I'm out here in the garage again with a cricket. Well, it gets me wondering, are girls people? No, really, are they people? Are they human? Are they capable of anything and everything that humans are capable of? Are they fully human, exhibiting all of the tendencies and complexities of the human personality and soul? Are they sometimes guided by their minds, sometimes by their hearts? Are they people? You might find the line of questioning offensive. How dare one question the humanity of girls? Females are every bit as human as males, right? Females display all of the potential, the capacity and intelligence and smarts and the moxie of men, right? And to take what we have been taught for decades now, females and males are equal. So given all of this preamble, what's up with people freaking out about the coming remake of one of the greatest films of all times, Lord of the Flies? The book is a mind-blower and helped generations of young adults to understand the reality that warfare may be part of the human condition, and that even when we are rescued from ourselves, the rescuers are likely to be in the same predicament as the rescued. The remake of Lord of the Flies has set people on tacks because the gender of the cast has been changed. The original story had boys crashing on an island and turning into fighting factions. The new version replaces the boys with girls, and this is what has an army of critics locking and loading. Objectors include Roxane Gay, who tweeted that female cast makes no sense because, quote, the plot of that book wouldn't happen with all women, close quote. A tweeter named Aisling Toomey laughs that the two men making the film, using a female cast, clearly didn't understand Golding's book when they read it. Rachel Leishman states, quote, the female-led Lord of the Flies wouldn't ever happen because women would just branch off into their own respective groups peacefully. Well, talk about sexist. How can these women deny the humanity of girls? How can they know beforehand how a female is going to act? Unless they are sexist and prejudiced beyond imagination. So let's spell it out for them. Females are humans. Females behave like humans. Females are capable of everything humans are capable of. Humans are capable of factionalism and hatred and war. Therefore, women and girls as humans are capable of factionalism, hatred, and war. Let's call it Queen of the Flies and get on with it. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Moorhead State University. It's 4:48 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett, and we are so glad you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Eagle Finance, presents the 25th Annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, September 8th through the 16th at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds, US 60 East in Moorhead. Featuring 50 bands, including the Lonesome River Band, Larry Cordle, Russell Moore and Third Time Out, Still Drivers, Gary Brewer and Kentucky Ramblers, and many more. Camping daily and weekend passes. Tickets at 606-784-2277 and online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
The Bengals are ready for action. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tolden Johnson. The Cincinnati Bengals kick off their 50th season with a home game on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. This is the Bengals' first at-home opener since 2009. Bengals coach Marvin Lewis says that even though this is a big game for his squad, they are staying mentally prepared.
But this is opening day, opening weekend, and it is an exciting time, but we've prepared for that. And that's the thing. We've been talking about it. We've been preparing for it. The fact this is how it's going to look. This is how it's going to unfold. It's going to see, smell. It's all going to be like this. And now let's go do it.
Raven star quarterback Joe Flacco is expected to be ready to go on game day after suffering a back injury during the offseason. Sunday's game kicks off at 1 p.m. In the NFL, In the NFL kickoff game last night, defending Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots, lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Pats scored early in the first, then it was a back-and-forth battle until the beginning of the fourth quarter, when Kareem Hunt caught a 78-yard pass from Alex Smith to make the score 28-27. From there, the Chiefs scored two more times to end the game 42-27. As his team prepares to visit Liberty tomorrow at 6, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenyer is telling his Eagles to embrace the challenge. MSU will be major underdogs in taking on the Flames, who upset Baylor a week ago. Tenyer says the Eagles' chances of hanging with Liberty hang on several things, starting with their ability to stop the run.
And if we can force them to throw the ball a lot, and you know, it'll put us in a better situation to be successful. Offensively, it's important that we have a good start, that we're confident that we can run the football early in the game, find ways to move the ball, generate some drives, and get in the end zone.
MSU hasn't played Liberty since 1991. The Eagles are 3-5 lifetime against the Flames, who move up next year to the FBS level. Kentucky is at Kroger Field at high noon tomorrow as the 1-0 Wildcats entertain Eastern Kentucky in their home opener. Coach Mark Stoops says it's critical UK's defense makes things happen against the Colonels' multidimensional offense.
They know how to move the football. They know how to scratch out, you know, and get first downs and move the ball and make plays, and they throw it very, very well. You know, so it's kind of the same. Then it's about us, you know. Like I've always said, when we have the right play call at the right time, you can't miss those opportunities.
Number 17, Louisville, meanwhile, will visit Northern Carolina in ACC action. With Hurricane Irma bearing down on the Sunshine State, 10th-ranked Florida State and number 22 Florida have canceled their home openers for this weekend. The Seminoles were scheduled to face UL Monroe, while the Gators were supposed to play Northern Colorado. Neither of the games will be made up. The Round County football team will attempt to snap a two-game skid tonight at 7:30 when it visits Fleming County. Led by senior quarterback Josh Crump, the Panthers feature a strong passing attack. Coach Kelly Ford says the Vikings' defense will be aggressive against Crump.
We'll change our defenses up. We'll bring pressure from all angles, from the middle, from our edges, to just try to hurry him up into some bad throws and stuff like that. But, you know, one thing about him, they're really good about doing a scramble drill, scrambling out, and he's throwing on a run. So we got to contain him to the pocket and make him pull up and throw the thing.
Fleming enters tonight's game against Rowan with a 2-0 record. Elsewhere in high school football tonight, 3-0 West Carter, 3-0 East Carter hosts 1-1 rival West Carter and Grayson. West Carter coach Kevin Brown believes it will all be a close one between his Comets and the Raiders.
I just feel like if we play some solid defense and keep our offense rolling, then we should give ourselves a chance to win at the end.
Coming off a 21-17 loss to Fleming County, Greenup County travels to Raceland in a battle of 2-1 squads. Coach Scott Grizzle wants to see a better effort from his Musketeers.
We got to play mistake-free football to beat good teams, and Raceland's a good football team. So just cutting down the penalties, the turnovers, That's going to be a huge help to us.
In some other games, Bath County visits Western Hills, Russell meets Ashland Blazer, Morgan hosts Mason, Nicholas visits Lewis, and Boyd travels to Estill. And lastly in sports, the Morehead State soccer team is on the road this Saturday as they travel to play Evansville. Head coach Warren Lipka says the game could be a good chance for his team to pick up its second win of the season.
Well, they lost a lot of players last year, so they're kind of in the rebuilding mode, and you know, I know their coaches there. They're great people. They're just trying to put pieces together right now, I think, for their conference play also.
While MSU is 1-4 on the year, Evansville is 2-4. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I am Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Volleyball will host the Comfort Inn Invitational this weekend, playing Troy tonight at 7 p.m. and Middle Tennessee tomorrow at 2 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Okay.
We're ready to go.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Major U.S. equities, major U.S. equity indexes were little changed as Hurricane Irma barreled toward the East Coast while interest rates hampered financial stocks. And today, stocks, as mentioned, just more or less marking time, with the Dow Jones Industrials showing a small gain of 13.01 at 21,797.79. The S&P 500 was down 3.67 at 2461.43. And the NASDAQ Composite was the worst performing of the major indices, as it was down 37.68 at 6360.19. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 15 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. For the week, the Dow was down about 190 points, while the S&P 500 fell 0.6%, and the NASDAQ Composite dropped about 1.2% since trading started on Tuesday. Shares of major insurance companies were set for weekly losses ahead of Hurricane Irma's landfall in Florida. Both XL Group and Renaissance Re traded slightly higher today, but remained 5.8% and 7% lower, respectively, since Tuesday. Restaurant companies, including Fiesta Restaurant Group and Ruth's Hospitality Group, which operates Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, also posted week-to-date declines, and Outback Steakhouse owner Bloomin' Brands fell 2.5% since Tuesday. Home improvement and materials companies surged ahead of the storm's projected destruction in Florida. Home Depot climbed 1.4%, while Lowe's added 1.7%, and Lumber Liquidator stock added another 2.5% today, that on top of strong weekly gains. Shares of Equifax fell 13% after the credit reporting agency revealed a massive data breach that exposed personal information of as many as 143 million consumers. The company also said three executives who sold shares days after the breach was discovered were unaware of the event. The euro extended its weekly advance over the dollar after the European Central Bank boosted its growth forecast on Thursday. The Wall Street expects that the euro's ascent to moderate. The euro gained almost 0.1% today after a 1% climb against the dollar yesterday, and the euro finished the week at just over $1.20. The Commerce Department reported a 0.6% increase in wholesale inventories in July, and this was more than the 0.4% increase expected by economists. In the commodities markets, oil was down 3.1% at $47.57, while gold was up a dollar at $1,351.30 an ounce. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 index was up 0.15%. In Asia, markets were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.625% and the Hang Seng index in Hong Kong up 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Travelers and Home Depot, while the worst performers were Apple and Walmart. In the S&P 500, the best performers were XL Group and Everest Re, and the worst performers were Equifax and Kroger. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 38 cents at 61.70, Valvoline up 20 cents at 22.06, AEP up 39 cents at 74.22, CSX down 33 cents at 51.14, AK Steel down 11 cents at 5.87, and Marathon Petroleum was up 79 cents to finish at 53.42. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Taking a look at some regional events, Storytime with Melissa will begin at 5 p.m. on Monday, September 18th at Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead. The program will feature stories for children written by author Anne Dwagney. Admission is free and the event is open to the public. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jacob Lindberg, Arlo Barnett, Jack Cottle, Sean Delaney, and Kinsey Thompson. From WUKY, Josh James, and our feature segment this afternoon came from Moorhead State University commentator John Modav. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.